Praise God. Well, it's good to be back with you today. I want to turn your attention to a portion of Scripture found in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. If you'd like to turn there in your Bibles with me, Hebrews chapter 12, looking at the first three verses. Hebrews 12, beginning with verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. This has been a very bad month for California. We had the shooting in Thousand Oaks. 13 people were killed. Many more were injured. And just a day or two later, the Woolsey fire hit the same area. And then the areas of Malibu and parts of LA and Ventura counties. And then there was the Camp Fire in Northern California. Completely destroyed the town of Paradise. Over 80 fatalities, 153,000 acres consumed, over 18,000 structures destroyed, including two Assemblies of God churches burned to the ground. It's the worst fire in California history. Homes and businesses that were there one day, gone the next. People alive one day and gone the next. Life is uncertain. Let's face it, things don't always go as we planned. Tomorrow isn't promised to us. Oh, but the presence and the power and the peace of God is. And Jesus makes all the difference. I want you to look at verse 3 again. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Turn to the person next to you and say, the pastor's talking to you. This is a message, my friends, of encouragement. That whatever you are going through, I want you to know this, Jesus is here for you. Whatever you're going through, wherever you are, Jesus has already been there. Whatever you feel, He's already felt and He's suffered for you. Whatever you face, whatever comes your way, know this, God is in control. He is with you and He will see you through. Jesus has already faced it all and He overcame, and so can you. But you've got to keep your eyes on Jesus. And that's the title of my message. Look to Jesus. Lord, what a powerful presence of your Holy Spirit that's in this place. Lord, I know that I've been touched and I've been ministered to, and I don't think I'm the only one. Lord, you've already spoken to us. You've sent your glory. You've received our worship. now as we look into your word, just make it alive to us. Make it real to us. Apply it to each and every one of our situations. God, help us, no matter what's going on around, that we can look at. Help us to lift our eyes heavenward and look to Jesus. One more time, I ask for the anointing and the empowering of the Holy Spirit to help me to preach your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Things in life, come on, they sometimes can make you tuck your tail between your legs and run for cover. And there's so many people in the world, when bad things happen, they just don't know what to do or where to turn except to hopelessness and despair. But we have Jesus. And because of Jesus, you can face this life head on, all in, because He has already suffered and He's paid the price to give you victory and to see you through come what may. And the saints have already gone on before us. They have overcome. He has overcome, and so can you. Just keep your eyes on Jesus and your faith in Him. Now I want to give you, I hope you're ready. If you're taking notes, write this down in your notebook. I want to give you an important principle that you can live by. You ready? Where you look is where you go. Where you look is where you go. The question is, who are you looking at? Wherever you are today, I want to encourage and challenge you to look to Jesus. Have a spiritual vision that sees beyond your need or your situation or your problem. Have a spiritual vision that includes several things. Number one, your vision, you need to see Jesus. You need to see Jesus. Verse 1 says, again, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. The writer of Hebrews is describing, of course, a race. And we all know that it's not an easy race. It's not a straight or a smooth track. It's like some of our roads around here in Yucca Valley that are all ripped up because of the sewer project. Life is a lot like that. In fact, I don't know about you, but I'm going crazy trying to figure out how to get places. You know, one road that's open today, tomorrow I go the same way it's closed. Then I figure, well, I got to go around this other way. And then I figure out 2 days later, the one that was closed is open again. I can't figure out how to get to the bank or the post office. And well, yeah, I'm not alone. Thank you. I thought I was kind of losing it. Life is like that, isn't it? The course that we're on is full of twists and turns and a lot of bumps and potholes and obstacles. Now, you probably heard this. Getting old is not for sissies. How many ever heard that? Getting old is not, is that true? Yeah. Getting old is not for sissies. You know, when I was young, I'm going to be honest with you, I heard people saying that, and honestly, I just thought old people just like to complain a lot. Until you get that right. I just, all these old people, they just like to complain. You know, now that I'm in that category, I realize that what really is complaining is my neck, and my back, and my knees, and my feet, and sometimes all of them at the same time. Well, the fact is, life isn't for sissies. in that race that we're running, the road that we're on, well, it's actually further complicated by me. Me. And you. Our weaknesses, our temptations, our wanting to go our own way and do our own things, the mistakes that we make, the poor choices, the impulsive decisions that we make further complicates this whole thing, doesn't it? But hold on, because it gets better. You don't need to run this race or live this life alone. The writer says that we are surrounded. I love that. We are surrounded by a great cloud or a group of witnesses. Well, who are these witnesses? Well, he starts by saying, therefore, so that means we got to go back to what was previously said. So go back to chapter 11, verse 39. These people that are described in the previous verses, they were all commended for their faith. Yet none of them received what had been promised. But God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. These, this group, this great cloud of witnesses, these are the people who lived and died in faith, the ones who have gone on before us. They are the saints that are right now in heaven. These people who were described in Hebrews chapter 11, the people of faith, this chapter is often referred to as God's Hall of Fame of Faith. The saints, that they lived in very dire and desperate and difficult circumstances, but they lived by faith. They died in faith. And by the promise, they looked forward to the Messiah, to Jesus coming. They died in faith looking ahead, having not yet received the promise, seeing Jesus. But we also have the promise, but we have it fulfilled. Jesus has come, and He suffered, and He died for you and for me in our place. He completed the work. He overcame sin, Satan, death. He won the victory. And as they, the saints, overcame by faith, looking forward to Jesus, we can overcome by faith, looking to Jesus and keeping our eyes on Him. My friend, I'm talking to you. You can run and you can win this race. And I'm going to give you five principles to run and win in this race we call life. Five principles, number one. I'm going to hurry. So jump in when you can and hang on. Principle number one, you've got to run stripped down. Sounds kind of funny, doesn't it? You got to run stripped down. Runners don't carry extra weight on them, do they? Did you ever see a track meet with runners with a backpack on them carrying weights? I know there's some people that they go out for their power walk with little dumbbells. But you're not going to win a race like that. Speed in a race requires streamlining. That's why they have all those special suits and everything. I remember when I was in the Army, we used to do a 20 kilometer road march, but we did it with boots and we did it with full pack and all of our gear and all of our equipment. You did a road march like that, but you didn't run the 2 mile PT run with all that stuff on. You ran into your PT uniform, which was your sneakers and your shorts, and sometimes those shorts were ridiculously tight. But we ran in our shorts and our t-shirts because we were running stripped down, if you will, to reduce the weight so that we could run the race in the best time that we could. The point is this, my friends. We need to get rid of any weight, anything that holds us back, slows us down, ties us up. We need to get rid of any sin. We need to get rid of any distraction, anything that takes us away from Jesus, gets us off course, takes us our eyes off of the prize, our eyes off of Jesus. We've got to run stripped down. Number two, you got to stay on course. You got to stay on course. The writer says that we should run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. You ever watch those races? Like in the Olympics, where the course is clearly marked out, where they know exactly where to go. If you get off course, you know, you try to cut the curve out or something, you're what? Disqualified. You're out of the race. You got to stay within the boundaries. You got to stay on the course. In other words, we need to live in obedience to God and His Word. God has laid out the course for us. He says, here's the way I want you to go. I don't want you to turn this way. I don't want you to turn that way. I don't want you to take a shortcut. I want you to go the way that I have marked out before you. We've got to live in obedience. We've got to go God's way. When we get into trouble, I don't know about you, but when I get into trouble is when I go Jerry's way instead of God's way. You would think that after all of these years, I would have got it into my head that God always knows best. And stop trying to figure things out myself and do things my own way. I know you're not like that, but I am. So I'm preaching to me. But we've got to go to God's way and not get distracted or veer off of God's course. We need to stay faithful to God, to how He's called us to live and what He's called us to do. Even when that road twists and it turns and there's things in life that we just don't understand. And it takes patience. We all want to get there the quickest way possible. But sometimes the long way around is the better way. It takes perseverance. It takes keeping going even when the road gets rough. So we need to run stripped down. We need to stay on course. Thirdly, we need to be encouraged by the witnesses. I really love this picture that the writer of Hebrews is presenting to us. The saints that have gone on before us and they've already won their race. I figure there's something that I could and that I need to learn from people who have already been there, already gone there, already done that, and they have won. There's something I need to learn from them. They've already run their race. And what are they doing now? They're cheering us on. Again, if you've ever watched the Olympics or a marathon or anything like that, you always have the runners running in that course, and both sides of that course are lined with people. Lined with the fans. Lined with the people who are encouraging, who are cheering on, who are handing them a bottle of water or a power bar. They're encouraging them to keep going. Picture this, my friends. Picture this. In heaven right now are myriads of saints who lived by faith, who died in faith, and believe me, it wasn't easy what they went through. But they died in faith. They overcame countless obstacles, impossible odds, and now they're looking down on us and they're encouraging and they're cheering you on. Come on. Come on. You can make it. Debbie, You're going to be all right. You can make it. You can do this. Dallas, keep going. You can do it. You can make this. Come on. You can do it. Jessica, keep going. You can handle it. God is with you. I wish I had time to mention all of your names, but they are. And they're lighting the way. And they are encouraging you. They are cheering you on. You can make it. You can do it. They did it. And so can you. Because you're looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Principle number four. When you fall down, get back up. We're all going to fall down. But when you do, don't stay down. Get back up. You know, that's the mark of a true champion. What you do when you lose a game. What you do when you make a mistake. How you respond when you mess up. When you get off course, what you do when you fall down. When you get off course, get back on. When you make a mistake, ask for forgiveness and let the Holy Spirit change you. When you fall down, let the power of God lift you back up. And keep going, even when you're tired, even when you're weary, keep going. This Christian life, a life of faith, living in victory is a lifelong process, and it takes patience. No, it's not for sissies. It is not for sissies. But it's for people who are committed. I don't mean committed to the asylum. I mean committed to Jesus. Committed to what He's called us to do, committed to keep on keeping on. Galatians 6:9, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, it takes patience, at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Don't give up, church. Don't give up. Maybe some of you came in here today weary, worn out. Maybe you've messed up. Maybe you've fallen down. Get back up. Get back on the course. Get back on track. Put your faith in Jesus. Look to Him and He will see you through. And there's a harvest coming. Get back up when you fall down. Keep going even when you're weary. Principle number five, keep your eyes on the prize. Keep your eyes on the prize, on Jesus. In Him, it's Him that we are serving. It's Him that we're trusting. It's Him that we're living for. Acts 17 says, in Him we live and move and have our being. It's all about Jesus. Man, without Jesus, forget it. Don't even bother. Don't even try. Because it's on Him that we are completely. Somebody say completely. It's on Him that we are completely dependent. Listen, winning the prize is worth running the race. Winning the prize is worth running the race. And when I'm running this race, I can't help but saying, I must say, Lord, I need You. Lord, I need You. I can't do this without You. How I long to finish the race and to see You, Jesus. I'm looking up to You, but I'm seeing through a glass darkly. But one day, I'm going to see You face to face. And it will be worth every bump, every bruise, every twist, every turn, every challenge, every obstacle, every pothole along the way. It'll be worth it, Lord, when I'm in Your presence. And Lord, I can make it. I can make it because You are certain. You can make it because He is certain. So point number two, and I quickly come to a close. You need to see not only Jesus, but you need to see, secondly, the certainty of God. Yes, this world, this life is very uncertain, but when the way is unclear and the road is uncertain, we must see a God who is certain. You know, it's often said, the only constant in life is change. How many know that's true? And then it said, the only sure things in life are, death and taxes. Well, that can be kind of depressing. But we have a different perspective. We have a God who never changes. We have a God who's overcome death. We have a God who can always be trusted and counted on. A God who never fails. No matter what uncertainties or changes that this life brings, He's never failed us yet. And I love the experience of Isaiah. And Isaiah 6:1, and you don't need to turn there, but great story about Isaiah's vision of the Lord, and it begins like this: in the year that King Uzziah died. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne. I want to ask you something. Has anything ever died in your life? Has anything ever died in your life? A loved one? A job? Your financial situation? Your health? A relationship? A dream? Or maybe it's just that your car died. But has anything ever died in your life? Israel was going through a time of great uncertainty and change, a time of worry and fear and pain because their great king Uzziah died. But what happened to Isaiah? He saw God and he was on his throne. Isaiah had been looking at what was around him, but God revealed himself, that God had other plans and purposes for Isaiah in Israel. Paul says all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. In times of hardship and change and uncertainty, we too need to see the living God. He is a certain God, a sovereign God, an unchangeable God. He is a loving God who knows what He's doing, and He always does what is best for you. He's a God who can take what's wrong and make it right, who can take what's bad and turn it around to good. He can take your hurt and bring healing. He can take your pain and bring peace. He can take your hardship and bring hope. My friend, when something in your life dies, let Jesus bring new life. And when things are difficult or uncertain, turn your heart toward heaven and your eyes to Jesus. The hurts, the hardships, the pain, the problems, the difficulties, the discouragement of this life are real. But the saints who went before us face the same thing, and often a lot worse. They looked forward in hope, and they overcame by faith. Now from heaven, they line the way, and they're cheering you on. They didn't give up, don't you? They made it by faith, by the grace of God, so can you. They look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So can you. But you got to trust Him to take you from the beginning to the end, all the way home. So how will you face change and uncertainty? Will you face it by faith in an unchanging, certain God who will never let you down? Will you lay aside every fear, every worry, every sin, anything that distracts, that will bring you down, that will slow you down, that will distract or take you off course? Will you run your race with patience? Will you keep going no matter what? My friend, where and to whom are you looking? The circumstances? Situation? You looking through the pain or how impossible things may seem? Are you looking to other people? Are you looking to yourself? Or are you looking to Jesus? Are you looking to Jesus who takes the dead and brings it back to life? I don't know where you are, exactly what you're going through, what you're facing, what you're dealing with. I do know somebody who does know and who cares and who loves you. Somebody who can do something about it. And I want to invite you to come to Him. Stu's going to put on a song that we've already sung, but I believe it's appropriate at this point for us to gather, especially if you're dealing with something that you just need to come and give it to Jesus. You need to look to Jesus right now. Say, Lord, I can't do it myself. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. The invitation is open. And it's for you.
Lord, I come.
Thank you, Jesus.
I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you,
bring it to Jesus.
I fall apart.
Thank you, Lord.
You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Grace is found, is where you are. Where you are, Lord, I am free. Holy death is Christ in me. Temptation comes my way. When I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. sin. Oh God, how I need you. Holding on, standing strong upon your
people of Gateway, we've been in the presence of the Almighty. But it doesn't stop. It doesn't end here and now. For we are temples. You are temples of the Holy Spirit. And He is with you and He is in you and He goes with you. Be blessed. Go in the presence and the peace and in the power of God. Stand upon His Word. Stand strong. Hold on. Look to Jesus. He is the author and the finisher of your faith. God bless you. Have a wonderful day in the Lord.